I'll ask Gary to lead us in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Need a motion to approve the minutes of October 14 and October 27.
I'll make the motion on both of those.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. No grievances? Tim?
No new claims.
Perfect. Is Brenda? There she is.
Good morning. I don't know if any of you saw my email from yesterday. I apologize for the lateness of it. The Secretary of State, under general or municipal home rule law, is requiring each county to do a codification of all their local laws. Those of you who've been around have known I've been working on this for about 5 years. So finally got time to finish it up. And Curtis in the law department took a look at it and gave his blessing. Of particular note is under Chapter 10, Part E regarding pistol permit applications. We have a local law that says that the fee is $5. When we implemented the plastic card system in the county clerk's office, we changed it to 10. But none of us realized that we needed to amend that local law. So the current codification reflects what the current fee is. And according to the way the rules read in the municipal home rule, these will be your actual local laws. So you can make changes to this document and that will reflect what is occurring from here on out. The other discrepancy I noticed is in the real property tax exemptions. So we have an exemption for the Gold Star parents. And in that local law, there's a tie back to the limit allowed in the volunteer firefighters and ambulance workers exemption. The original local law on the volunteer firefighters limited it to a $3,000 for full assessed value. When we amended the volunteer firefighters in 2023, we removed that limitation, but the tie back is still to the Gold Star parent local law still references the volunteer firefighters local law. So what you need to do is decide if you are going to remove that exemption limitation for the Gold Star parents. If you are, then we can just correct this right now. If you're going to keep that limitation, then we need to amend the Gold Star parent local law to remove that tie back and put the actual limitation in there.
So I guess on the Chapter 10 Part E, we are currently charging $10.
Yes.
Okay. And so we need to repeal the original law or amend the original law?
You would be actually be amending it by adopting this code.
Okay. So is there any other changes in all the compilation of laws? Because obviously we couldn't have possibly read the
Those were the only ones that I came across through all of it.
Okay. And so this is the entire body of laws that have been passed since?
Yes.
When?
Except for since 1950.
Okay.
My research when I first started, any of the local laws prior to that were covered in other areas, other documents, like your administrative code, things like that. So they basically told us just pick a point in time and go forward.
Don't we pass a law and then submit it to the state anyhow? So what, they just want one easy place to find everything is basically the case?
Exactly.
So they haven't done the work of organizing on their end, so they're requiring everybody else to do it.
And I fought it for years, and actually it was funny, Judy and I went back and forth several times because the law says the clerk of the board, and they kept sending the request to the county clerk. So I'd be like,
it's okay.
I didn't get it.
I didn't get it. Sorry. So
is this just at the county level, or is this going to be also at the local municipality level as well?
Right now it just says counties.
Okay. Because that would be
it's a heavy lift. Some counties paid a company a lot of money. They pay like 10,000 more just to do the codification. And then an annual fee to maintain it. The problem, and what I didn't like besides the cost, was the fact that once you send them that local law, that is their doc, that is theirs. They have ownership of it, and the only way you can make changes is to request that they change it. And I just wasn't willing to give that up.
Yeah, I don't like that idea either.
So we need to adopt the codification, but we need also to amend the goal parents exemption.
Yeah, you need to make a decision on the Gold Star exemption.
Capped.
If you want the cap, then we'll have to amend that local law. In addition, we'll do it in the same meeting. We'll amend that local law and then update it in the codification and adopt that after that.
So the license, I don't think, is an issue to make the change. But what happens if we repeal that for the Gold Star? Because I'm a little confused. I don't know what the effect is.
I don't know, and I didn't get a chance to talk to Larry. Do you know how many Gold Star parents we have? Yeah. I wouldn't think it would be a lot.
We certainly have a couple, at least.
But what happens if we repeal it?
Are they?
I'm not saying repeal it. I'm saying either
cap or no cap.
Keep the $3,000 cap, which is now in existence, or remove the cap, which is what you did for the volunteer firefighters and ambulance workers.
The $3,000 is just on the assessed value?
Full assessed value.
So it's not that they get $3,000.
Right.
It's just you're exempting $3,000 of the assessed value.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I would follow. I would not go back to the 3,000.
Okay.
My opinion. It doesn't amount to that many dollars for us, but it's important to the parents.
It's probably a few hundred bucks in county taxes.
Yeah.
It just sounded weird.
If we remove the cap, I mean, what would be the implications on that? Because we remove the cap on other things, that's my understanding, right?
We have, and I mean, with a couple Gold Star parents, if you're exempting, that amount off of property taxes, you're talking about a few hundred bucks.
Really. So even if we remove the cap, it wouldn't make much of a difference in terms of tax levy.
No.
A motion.
Second.
And it follows what you've done in other cases.
What is the motion? Is it to remove the cap?
To remove the cap.
Okay. Right.
And adopt the codification.
Right.
With the changes.
With that change.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And this will be a local law subject to permissive referendum.
Any further questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Curious.
Thank you all.
Judy Hunter and Danielle.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And you all should have received the semi-annual mortgage tax distribution report. We are distributing to all the municipalities a total of $786,773.13. I don't know if anyone has any questions.
What happened to Campbell?
Yeah, I thought that was coming. there were several over, several over a million, but Campbell wound up with, they had four mortgages totaling $23,665,489. And two of those were for a Wixom Road. And that total was $7,811,978. And then there were two others for Meads Creek Road for $15,835. And that was the mortgagor was, what was it? New York Campbell 1 LLC and New York Campbell 2 LLC. So they were, that was the biggie.
Are these distributions based on the additional quarter percent, or is this based on the whole?
This is the basic tax.
Basic, okay. Huh, I would have thought they would be a higher amounts.
You were thinking it would be what?
I would have thought they would be much higher. This is out of the collection of the full 1%, right?
No, this is out of the 0.5%. The basic tax is 0.5%.
And then what do we do with
that? Then 0.25% goes to Sunny Mae,
yep,
the state of New York. And then the next 0.5% goes to the county. And that's broken down with the local tax. That's a 0.25%. And the additional tax is 0.25%. But the first $10,000 of that additional tax is exempt from tax. So that's why the additional tax is typically a little bit less than what would be going to Sunny Mae.
Right, so this isn't the whole, this is only a percentage of that tax.
This, right. It's about half. I mean,
all right.
As you see, the county and the municipalities both receive approximately the same amount. Any other questions?
Move the distribution.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Any other questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
IT, Rob.
Good morning. I have a couple things this morning. First, we were doing an upgrade on the mobile data terminals, basically the rugged laptops that the sheriff's department has, and five of them would not upgrade to Windows 11. So I'm here to request to be able to purchase five new MDTs from my capital budget.
What's the amount?
We got a preliminary quote, and this is open market, $21,600 for all five, plus the barcode scanner component that it needs. Now this is on state contract, but we need to find the right SKU. The SKU number that's out there right now is old, so we need to, this has came up pretty quickly, so haven't had a lot of time to do the research on it, but this is the open market price.
So these computers we're expecting to run longer, but for whatever reason they can't update to the new system, is that right? Or
so Windows 10 is no longer being supported by Microsoft.
Right.
And the hardware in these MDTs is not compatible with Windows 11.
Right.
So we can't upgrade them, and they can't get new security updates at this point. As to the refresh rate on these, IT was never involved with the refresh on the MDTs prior to now. But we are being more active now. Usually the sheriff's department was the one that did the upgrades.
Okay, and we don't have like exist, because I know we have like a stockpile of computers. Are the sheriff's department separate, or can we take existing ones that we have?
So these are Toughbooks. They're different. They're rugged.
Okay.
So we don't keep a
inventory. We don't have an inventory for these. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Correct. They are
rugged.
Yeah, they're
probably harder outer casing.
Yeah, the casing, the stability of all the electronics on the inside, they're
tested for drops. The screens are harder so that the screen won't break. They're really a rugged. I mean, I could throw it across the room and it should still work.
That's not
they're no, we don't.
Right. Okay.
But as far as dust and everything, that's also a part of being rugged. They're protected more for dust and things like that, because they're going to be out in the field and in the cars and out of the cars and back and forth. So,
so moved.
Second.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
How long before you can get those?
That depends. The last time the sheriff ordered them, it said they took them 4 months. So that's why I'm trying to find the right SKU on the state contract, or one that's close enough to match everything that we need.
Yeah.
And if I can do that, then it should be a lot quicker.
But can they still use the five that they have, even though they're not upgraded both?
So we are currently letting them use those five. I didn't think it would be effective for the sheriff's department to take them out of commission for five people.
Thank you.
All right. The second one is I need you to award the bid for 20 HP ProBook laptops. This is for the general county. The lowest bid was ICT Resources at $16,890.60.
Is there a motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Questions?
Yeah.
Paid for out of where?
Scar.
Paid for out of where?
Oh, this comes out of this
your capital. IT capital project?
Yes, this is, you already approved a capital project for this year that's still coming out of the what was approved for that.
Okay.
And have you worked with this company before or no?
ICT?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Do we have an idea whether they'll deliver the same product that we've gotten from other people or?
Yes, they do, because we've already received them. I'm coming to you after the fact. I didn't know I needed to get your approval to accept the bid.
So they're acceptable, working order, all that good stuff?
Yes.
All right.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Excellent.
Thank you.
Larry.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Coming here for you today. I got quite a few items on there. First one is the RPS V4 annual license chargebacks for the towns. Usually we do this earlier, but I just got some final numbers from them. So one town did change a little bit. So just need to have that approved to charge back to the towns.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry.
Next on my list is adopting the table of equalization rates.
Motion.
Town and county.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Well, I did have a question on this.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way we can get the townships to all adopt 100% equalization? Is that possible? Because that would make...
We would have to do... We went through this. It would be a mandatory referendum. And I believe this is one of the ones where it has to pass within the cities. And then also outside the towns combined, just like the charter.
Right.
And so, yes, you can. The chances of that happening are pretty slim.
Yeah, because I feel like every time, you know, the equalization rate changes, you get a huge hullabaloo in whatever municipality it's in. So if you just had it all at 100%, stayed at 100%, then...
But that's the equalization is a result of aged assessments. You'd have to have continuous updates on assessments or revals in order to maintain 100%.
Yeah, but when you have 1.9% in Tuscarora and then 100% in Urbana, that's a, you know.
Bob, you want to talk about that?
Yeah. If I was you, Bill, I'd keep my shirt on because we're in the process of doing a reval. Okay.
Oh, wow. That's fine.
And there's nothing wrong with like Jasper at or Thurston at 2 or 5%, because that's your equalization rate, they bring it out to everybody equal to 100%. So, you know, there could be a variation within the town. There may be some people that have owned land a long time that may be a little low.
Right.
And when you do the 100%, you go do a new evaluation, then that gets caught up. But as far as the county's concerned, that's why they bring it up from 1% or 2% up to 100%. And that's how they share in the county tax. So, and there's nothing illegal about it.
Right. I'm not saying it's illegal. It seems it's caused.
But even the ones that did 100, next year there'll be 90 or 95 or 80. You're never going to keep everybody at 100%.
Right.
Because they're doing the same thing if you're at 80 or you're at 2%. It's just a different, you know, it's the same formula.
Yeah, the way you...
They bring you back all back up to 100%. That's how your adjustment is.
Right, yeah.
So I mean, you do it, in 2 years, you're down to 80.
Not that fast.
No, not fast? Not that fast?
It drop a couple...
5 years now.
It'll drop a couple percent.
Well, you look at these, and a lot of them are... There's very few that are at 100%.
We've done an update like a year or two ago.
You got to keep doing updates.
Right. Yeah.
If you don't do an update,
that's right.
In no time, you're back down to 80 or 70%.
State usually recommends every 3 years try to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
State usually recommends try to do it every 3 years.
Right. And that's to Will's point. That's how some counties, Tompkins does it. Schuyler does it by agreement. I don't think they ever passed a referendum, but it's county control. And keeping that 3-year cycle is what keeps everyone up to 100%. But we talked about it. Yeah. Carol ran an ad hoc committee. We talked about this
many times
7 years ago or so. Yeah. And the amount of municipalities that want to continue to do their own thing. We had trouble getting them to sign on to some voluntary agreements where we help.
Yeah, it just seems to me as if everyone was, I guess it doesn't have to be at 100%, but if everyone was at the same, then it would make numbers and tax stuff much clearer.
It would. And when you pass a budget and say it's less than 2%, but because of equalization rates, some see it go
right
much less.
Exactly.
Some see much higher.
Exactly.
That's hard to explain.
It would be nice to have everyone on the same page so that people understand what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
The discrepancy becomes more visible or more noticeable, like in the school districts, they have two different towns or three different towns involved, and you've got one town that's single digit equalization rate and the other towns that like 95 or 100%, and you compare properties, there is this discrepancy in it, but the state's the one that sets the equalization rate.
Right. Yeah, the state's the one that sets the equalization rate.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Next on my list is filing the report for county equalization for the levy for the county taxes.
So move.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Carries.
Let's see. Next one is review the report of the percentage change due to equalization rate and valuations.
I'm moving.
Your second?
I'll second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
And the last one is to filing of the exemption impact report summary that for the county.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Questions?
Yeah. Can you just explain a little bit about this general report? Because I just see a lot of numbers here. I'm trying to figure out exactly what it's supposed to mean.
Everything on here is basically all the exemptions we have within the county.
Yep.
And what this does is we use this and gives you the number of exemptions by description and gives you the total number, gives you what percentages that is, and lets you know what the value percentage is.
Okay, so the total equalized value of exemptions is the combination, like the first one, 41 million is the combination of 127 people taking advantage of that exemption.
Correct.
Okay. All right. That's what I need to know.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Thanks, everyone.
Next up, Vicki and Colleen.
Good morning. Good
morning.
So we are here to ask for approval to purchase three printer carts for a total of $993.89 and six Avision printers from Robus for a total of $2,694. And both of these will be submitted for grant to come back.
I'll move it.
I'll second. Do you have...
Are these state bid or no?
No.
No. Okay. Thank you.
Will.
You said will be submitted. So do you have particular grants that you think will cover these?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So you're pretty sure you're going to get them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, and I think I sent out the email in speaking with the commissioners, that big bump in the modified budget for elections of postage to 90 and then it goes back down.
Right.
Talking to them, that's where the money is.
Yeah, there's other grant money too.
Hilda.
So are these the on-demand printing? Are they this? Is this the same company you're already using?
Yes. Yes.
Because you're happy with
and them. And the printers are specific to that company because they have to be special printers in order to print the size ballots that we need. So yeah.
Perfect.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Then we need approval to transfer the money from the operating supplies line to the minor equipment line for the $3,687.89 to cover the cost of those.
I'll motion.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. The next item is to approve the five-year contract. We purchased Clear Ballots Central Count Scanner System back in 2020. And we used grant money at that time and it covered it for 5 years. Well, our contract is coming up in 2026. We did reach out to the state board and ask them through the grant department if we could cover this under two of the absentee grants, the postage grants, and they said that we could.
Perfect.
If this is approved, we're asking for approval to do a five-year contract. This includes the cost of the software, the maintenance of the software, any updates, also the maintenance and everything for the actual scanner itself that we use. And we can cover all of this with a grant.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
How often do they come down for maintenance?
Every year. Every year the company comes out and they maintain the scanner and they do all of the everything.
Any special time just before elections or?
They normally come down somewhere. It's normally around July, August.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Will.
The scanner's been working well. You haven't had any issues?
No issues at all.
Okay, good. And is there another competitor or are they basically the only ones that?
We purchased them in 2020 and at the time we were able to use a central count scanner system to audit, to do the 3% audit on, because at that time we had Dominion voting machines, so we could use that to do the 3% audit. So we didn't have to do the hand audits. Now because we're with, Clear Ballot for our voting machines, we can't use it for the audit purposes. But we still use it for all scanning all of our absentee ballots that we have to scan before early voting starts and after early voting. So that scans all of our absentees and all of that. And they all have to be kept secured until election night where we can get the results off.
So how are you going to audit moving forward then?
We've been hand counting.
Hand counting it?
They're trying to
find another solution.
State with the laws to see how they can do whatever so that we can go back to, but because they're the same system, we can't use them for the hand for the audit.
I thought we were going to be able to do that.
Well,
they're working on it.
About it.
Wow.
But I understand them not being able to audit their own system.
Yeah. It's been 5 years since you've had Clear Ballot?
Yes. Just, well, for the central count scanner systems.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
What about the
the poll site ones. That hasn't been 5 years.
No.
Well, no, the new voting machines. No, it's only been one.
And our audit will be hand counted on them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I have one more question. Are we continuing to fund a voting machine capital project account each year in the budget? Because I'm afraid in 5 years, they're going to go back and say, okay, they're not supporting these machines anymore, and we need to look at buying new machines.
Yeah, candidly, I don't think that was included in the 2026 budget, okay. But can certainly include in the 2027.
All right. I mean, we should do that every year, so we're not.
Yeah, putting, I think we'd do anywhere from 50 to 100.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then the last item was originally the grant department told us that we did not have any funds left for the pool site accessibility grant. And then they recently reached out to us and said, oh, we went through all of our records and we found there's a bunch of counties that do have money still in this grant. So we're asking for approval to go ahead and do the pool site accessibility grant extension for $8,263.42.
I'll move it.
Okay. I'll second it, but
go ahead, Hilda.
What do you do with that accessibility grant?
So it is, there are temporary improvements to the pool sites. So they cover things like we purchase, like for parking sign, handicap parking signs, permanent handicap parking signs to give out to the places that we have pool sites so they can hang them up. They're permanent. We don't have to send other stuff. We also use them for doorbells. We purchased,
10, 15.
Yeah, we purchased a whole bunch of doorbells so that they have better range at the pool sites than the ones that they've had for years. And we also purchased stand-up single unit privacy booths for some of our pool sites and some new signage to send out for elections also that will all be covered under this.
Anything else?
This doesn't repair any plumbing at Camp Bell.
Yeah, no. I am hoping that they got that fixed.
Blue printer.
What a nightmare.
They put Facebook to don't call the rent building. It's going to be months before they get fixed.
I guess Colleen was there.
Yeah, it was. It luckily the water hadn't moved all the way to where our machines were set up, so we scathed that little incident with the electrical stuff. But yeah, it was about it. Up to your edge of your soles on your shoes when you walked through there.
Wow. Was not a pleasant phone call at quarter after but five election morning.
On a positive note, we were up and running by 6:30.
Yeah.
So we got it right down to the town hall and got everything up and running.
Very thankful for Jeff Horton. I'm assuming we woke his wife up that morning and he was able to like make it happen so that we could get into the town hall and get everything going and make sure all the voters knew that their pool site had been moved. And so, yeah.
Wow.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I have a question for the commissioners. How did it go this year?
Outside of that, I think we had a pretty smooth day, but
we had pretty good turnout considering, you know, it's a local year, and so we don't always get great turnout, but I think we had pretty good turnout in early voting.
Yeah.
We were very, very pleased with early voting this year for a local turnout.
So I have a question. I think, and you've been asked several times, the early voting results don't get published until when?
Until 9 o'clock election night. We don't even know what they are.
Oh, you don't even know.
No, we're not even allowed to run any reports, any tapes, anything until after 8 o'clock election night. And then even that has to be done in the office securely, like no cell phones, like no nothing. So nobody can report anything out. The same with our absentees that have been already canvassed and scanned. We cannot run any reports, anything until after 8 o'clock. And with those, then we report them after 9 o'clock.
And they get merged in with anything that happens with election day.
And believe me, the state board, when we send those reports to the state board looks at the time to know exactly when we run those reports to make sure that we are not running them ahead of time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mitch.
Good morning. Hopefully everyone got a chance to review the email I sent out on Friday afternoon. And it's related to stop loss coverage for our health insurance. So Gallagher, our benefits consultant for health insurance, quoted two carriers, one from Excellus, who's our current carrier for stop loss coverage. And theirs was $454,000. They also got a quote from Tokio Marine for $334,000. And their recommendation is to go with the Tokio Marine, since it's you know, a $21,000 less than what we're currently paying, which is $365,000. So the renewal from Excellus was going to be about $89,000 more than we're currently paying through Excellus. So that would also be my recommendation.
Is there a motion to approve Tokio?
I'll motion.
Second.
Questions?
Yeah, I see there the net cost avoidance versus renewal. So that seems to be the difference between the Excellus and the Tokio Marine. Is that just what that number is representing?
It's the difference between the 454 and the 334, I think.
Right.
Right.
Right. Okay. I didn't know if it was something separate, but it looked like it was that.
So is Tokio Marine U.S. based?
Yes. Yep.
It just has, is that a company that we're confident?
We have our general liability insurance under them. It's something. T-O-K-I-O.
Oh, okay. I knew I heard the name, but I couldn't remember if it was this or the city. Okay, thanks.
And my other question is the carve out fee, the 10,000. What exactly is that?
So it's because before Excellus is our health insurance carrier as well, in addition to being our stop loss. So by having that carved out and
we had to pay Excellus some additional funds. Yeah. Got it. Yep. Okay, thanks.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mitch. Nate.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Swackhammer, please don't beat me up for this list.
I'll be very careful.
All right, I appreciate it. Yeah. First requests are in the district attorney's office, asking to reclassify one currently filled assistant district attorney, management grade J, to a senior assistant district attorney, management grade K. As we discussed last week in committee, you know, as you all know, there's some moves in the district attorney's office with retirements and such, and this is allowing them to move people and put them in where the duties fit.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Questions, Gary? No? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
And along with that, requesting to appoint a senior assistant district attorney above the midpoint at management grade K, step 9, 111.812. As always, we look at the experience of the individual, as well as obviously attorney recruitment difficulty. So this certainly fits.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Questions?
So is this part of Brooks's request to change part times to full times?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So we have two individuals who are going to full time. That's essentially what these two are.
Well, and it's a change of duties as well. So when you go to the senior, you know, they take on more significant duties,
right?
And different duties. So it's a little both.
So you have one that is going from part-time to full-time. So that's the first two bullets. The second is an existing senior. It's appointing above midpoint, but that position already is existing.
Right.
It's just vacant. So this is filling it.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
And the next is a request to appoint a senior assistant district attorney above the midpoint at management grade K, step 10, 114.956. Same thing here. Looked at the experience and certainly warranted.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
And public defender, request to appoint a deputy public defender above the midpoint at management grade L, step 13, 136,817. As you know, Sean's deputy had left and in search for a new one, looked at the experience of this individual, and again, warranted. Sean is here for any specific questions you may have too.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Any questions?
So you have somebody for this position?
Yes,
ma'am. Perfect.
Currently, go ahead.
Here.
Decades of experience.
Yeah, I was aware that my former deputy was going to be leaving around September. I knew that in July or so. And I've been thinking very carefully about this. And she left in September. The position's been vacant since then. Because again, I was still, I'm very, very particular about job duties and what I need. So put a lot of thought into this, and this particular individual been practice for over 30 years. Been at the top of his game for a long time. So it's appropriate.
So what's the difference in salary between the one we're hiring and the one we lost?
Zero. None. No difference.
So you're paying this person the same?
Yes, sir.
As a person who we just lost?
Yes. Yeah, not zero.
You want to pay him more, Gary?
Okay.
Presumably, won't there be more duties?
Oh.
So this person is getting a raise moving into this spot?
Correct.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yes, but and there's no difference between the former and the current salary. I did not want to increase that.
Yeah, I think what the difference is, because we don't always bring someone in at the same salary as someone who left. This, while the former deputy had a ton of experience, this individual has at least 10 years more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
And also in public defender, request to create an assistant public defender trainee, management grade I. As you all know, we've been a big fan of doing this with various positions, but especially attorneys to bring these trainees in, and hopefully they stick around. He's identified another candidate, so we'd like to make a position for him.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
I will.
With the other trainees, what have we done with those trainee positions? Have they dissolved after the trainees have been promoted? If so, fine. If not, I think we should just slot them into an existing trainee position.
Well, and there's a couple schools of thought on this, so we could kind of go either way. And we've sort of, with various positions around the county, we've done it a couple different ways. If it's something that we're going to do as a regular occurrence, I think it would be wise to, you know, especially in the public defenders and maybe the DAs, to have a trainee position sitting there that could be used. And then, you know, they move into a regular position once they're done with the trainee. The other way to do it is exactly as you described, to, you know, once they reach the end of their traineeship, to essentially reclassify that trainee and make it a, you know, regular ADA or APD. That's a lot of reclassifying and classifying.
No, so. Yeah. So actually, I think it's the opposite of what
you want to. You want to leave.
The position. My understanding is that we still have an existing trainee position. Is that right? That's unfilled.
In his department? No, he has one that's
okay.
Filled.
There is not one.
No.
And we reclassified the last trainee. Or so I think we did.
I believe.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah, we did.
In Sean's department in particular, his positions are really all based on the ILS grant funding that we receive. Right. So it would be, I think in this case, it very likely would be once that, I guess it depends. If Sean has an open APD position, that once this person qualifies, they could just roll in, and actually you folks wouldn't even need to approve because they're just filling a vacancy.
Right.
If it's not, then it would probably look at reclassification. But in his case, it would be all based on the state revenue, the state grant.
I very deliberately have, when I have a trainee, I have a vacant position for them to go into.
Right.
Because I'm just waiting for them to pass the bar, right, and I want them to get
set
and rock and roll. So
yeah.
I wouldn't fill one of those positions if I didn't have a final destination for
right
turn.
So it sounds like we created the position, reclassified them when we should have probably just moved them the last time.
Well, and initially when we first started doing it, like say we had done it for, you know, other positions around the county, but we hadn't done it for the attorney positions yet. So I think we were still getting our feet under us as to how we were going to handle it. And if we were actually going to get, you know, enough of them that wanted to do this. So, but it looks like there's a fair amount of interest. So I do think it's something that would be worthwhile.
Yeah, specifically with the law departments, because you have to wait almost a year from graduating law school to get fully barred.
I think it's a good model. We talked to Brooks about it last week as well. I think it's a really good model for any department, Tim's department, DSS, Sean's, Brooks, to get attorneys in under practice orders as trainees, and then hopefully get our hooks in them and they want to stay.
So it sounds like it's a win-win for everybody, but how successful have we been with the trainees?
So the first trainee that I had, I hired, and then I lost him to immigration lottery. So he's currently in Canada, getting some more education, and he hopes to come back, and he'd love to come back and work for us. So it is working. And I currently have another young man in a trainee position on the criminal side. He may be subject to the immigration lottery here as well, but he has his LLM from Cornell. He's excellent, waiting for his bar results. So fingers crossed that will work there. And this particular position is designed for the family court side. I think I might have mentioned this in PS&C that I have a unicorn on my hands here. I have a young attorney who is waiting for his bar results and wants to practice family court, which never happened. So I'm desperate to get that set up because one of my seniors on the family court side will be retiring at the end of the month.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah. And now an office for the aging. It's a request to reclassify one social welfare examiner, CSEA grade F, to an aging services assistant, CSEA grade D. This is a situation, the individual in there is vacating the position on December 1st and taking a look at the duties that are required of that position. This title fits better than us, a social welfare examiner.
So moved.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
And in social services, request to reclassify one currently filled senior account clerk, CSEA grade G, to a senior account clerk typist, CSEA grade I. And this is the situation of looking at the duties that have been added over time to the position, plus the fact that in general, we're not using a lot of the senior account clerk title anymore. So again, asking to reclassify.
I'll move it.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
And requesting to reclassify two currently filled support cashier typist positions, CSEA grade D, to senior account clerk typist, CSEA grade I. And this is another similar situation. Looking at the duties, the senior account clerk typist title better aligns to the job duties required in the support collection unit. There's a lot of accounting-based duties, payments, daily journals, and so on and so forth that are done by these positions.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Questions?
So is this a situation where we just don't have enough people and so they're ending up taking on more duties than they ought? Is that basically why we're reclassifying these? Right. Yeah. Okay.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Both? Carries.
Okay, and on to the law department. Request to appoint a part-time senior assistant county attorney above midpoint at management grade K. And there's a couple options. I'm going to let the county attorney, discuss this with you and see where we go.
Green light. Attorney's been practicing since 2002. He's coming over from Chemung County, and he has been in Department of Shelter Services in Chemung County. So I'm looking to relieve myself of the juvenile delinquent petitions that have been filed for the last year. So that's what this gentleman will do full time. No staff. He'll have to do all the work that I'd been doing with staff. So the staff has been doing my work. I've been going to court. He'll make the appearances. So again, lucky to have somebody that wants to come in. I opened it up to the 120 persons on the mailing list for the Bar Association. I had two internals that I had known about, and this gentleman was from Chemung County, but came in for what I'll call a discussion, not necessarily an interview. Seems to be excited and will work out just fine.
So you're looking for part-time, though?
It is part-time.
Okay. Is this like half-time, basically?
Half-time. 20 hours, okay. Probably.
All right.
And will he still be in Chemung County working?
He will physically be there, yeah. He has an office there. And he has two staffers in his office.
Solo.
So are we, would this be, if he's maintaining his private practice?
He will, yes. Yeah.
Is this, part-time. But he's technically a part-time employee?
Yeah, it's like the
As I work ADA for the DAs.
Right, APD. Okay, all right.
You're second?
I'll second.
Second.
I would think K-12 rather than K-11, but that's... If there's an or in there.
And the reason that those were brought up was, you know, 60,000 was kind of the magic number. So that's kind of where we, you know, it's situated in the middle.
We're good on budget for this.
Mm-hmm.
So the motion would include the K-12?
Yes.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
When would that person start?
Thank you. As soon as possible.
And the county manager, create a public information specialist part-time, management grade F. And Jack, did you want to?
Yeah, so we are finding good results, great results in public information specialist title. If you recall, we had been doing it as a temporary part-time, which Nate, along with us, just like other departments, have the ability to use temporary positions. We're up against a deadline for when state civil service will start breathing down Nate's neck about it being temporary. So we would like to put it up for creation of it as a permanent part-time position.
I'll move it. I'll second.
Questions? All in favor?
Oh, wait, I have a question.
I'm sorry.
So there was some talk about making it a full-time, not a part-time position. So where does that stand?
I think based upon workload, based upon what we see now, I think part-time certainly can fill the hours. I think full-time without adding other things in would be difficult. And then we run into civil service issues and some of those things about adding other duties. So we're taking it to take a look at other options for the future. Something that's always under monitoring.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Jack.
Chris is going to handle this one.
Okay.
We might then, yeah. All right. So the clerk of the legislature, sorry about this, has brought it to our attention that should we create the public information specialist, or well, which one?
The law department.
Oh, law department, sorry. We may actually need to do a, sorry, my brain got a little slow for a minute. In the law department, for that part-time senior assistant county attorney, we may need to do a residency waiver. Because the individual's outside of the county.
Yeah, we did. I thought we'll take a look, but I thought we wrote that when we did the attorneys to include all, but let's take a look. Oh, okay.
If we don't need it, then we don't. I'd rather have it than not.
So do you want to entertain a motion now?
I'll move it.
With the motion to waive the residency requirement?
Second.
Second.
That's for the particular position.
Yeah.
Right. It'd be for the title.
Yes.
Right. That title for that position, not in general.
Right.
Okay. Yes. That's fine.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carries.
Thank you.
Morning.
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 So we're going to be requesting authorization to appropriate 2025 revenue for the Sound Council program in the amount of $126,524.43. This should, we're hoping, get us through November, and we'll be back in December to look at transferring funds to finish out the year.
This, based on caseloads, this is one of the years that we are likely going to have to ask for contingent fund to cover assigned counsel as we had in prior years, but we have this revenue available. We just need authorization to appropriate it. It's state funding.
Yeah. So
move it. Second.
Is it state funding for this particular purpose?
Yes. Okay. Correct. Yep.
Do we have an idea on how much we'll end up having to foot the bill for?
We're trying to put everything together. It's such a crapshoot because, you know, a lot of attorneys don't bill timely. So this year we went into April paying 2024 bills. So we're trying to shorten that up, and we'll do our best, but we're probably looking probably 200-ish.
While we're on that topic, I had a judge talk with me a little bit about, we may want to consider an incentive program for public defenders and other assigned counsels, because apparently a lot of our public defenders have to travel great distances, and they bill that time against the county. And so there might be something in there. I mean, Tim maybe has some more thoughts on this, because I never dealt with it. But basically, the travel is a huge expense for the county for compensation. So if we had some more in-county people, you could save a pretty substantial amount of money.
I don't know. How do you incentivize local counsel?
Well, the judge was saying maybe if you get some younger, just out of law school type people, give them like a contract where they work for a certain number of years, and there's like a signing bonus type thing that would save you the money.
We can definitely take a look. The pressure that we see in assigned counsel with travel is for felony attorneys, because there's not many attorneys capable of handling felony cases that live in Steuben County and aren't otherwise employed by private firms. So yeah, no, I can talk to our assigned counsel administrator because he is in communication with the state on what's allowable,
right,
and those sort of things. So we can take a look.
Yeah, it was something that was brought up to me. I'm not knowledgeable at all about it, but I figure, you know, Tim's probably dealt with some of that, so he might have some insight on that.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
We are in need of an executive session relative to compensation performance of individuals.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. We're in an executive session.
Yeah.